I am in trouble. He is in the same place as when I am doing well. Therefore, the question is not, where is God? But do I know where God is? And what am I thinking? Who do I expect to help me? Who is first on my mind when I am in trouble? The 46th Psalm, believed with all the heart as it did Martin Luther when kings and popes were trying to kill him, will assure you of your helper. And I'll say more about that concerning Martin Luther at the end of the sermon. When you look at the psalm, before verse 1, you have what is known as the preface. And it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. The 46th psalm was written as a poem, as most songs are in the first place, to be sung. Therefore, it was handed over to the chief musician. The psalm was not written by David, as half of the psalms were, but by the sons of Korah, who did not follow their father in his rebellion against leadership. But those men love the Lord, and as a result, have written some of the world's most beautiful literature. The song was written for women, or to have women sing the melody, as we do today in our songs. This is the meaning of that word Alamoth, which is a Hebrew word referring to virgins or women. And then the psalm begins like this, verses 1 through 3, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. What is God to us? Number one, He is our refuge. When I'm in trouble, either when I've caused the trouble or the trouble has come upon me, are my thoughts, hey, I've got a refuge. I need to go there for safety. And number two, what does God do us? He is our strength. He is our strength when we're weak and small. I mean, that's why troubles bother us. Because they seem greater than us, and sometimes they are greater than us. How am I going to survive? How am I going to make it through this? Troubles overwhelm us. But should not our thoughts be, God is my strength. I can make it. You know something? I have made it in the past. I'm here today. How did that happen? God is my refuge, and God is my strength. Throughout America, we have what are known as wildlife refuges, where animals are safe from human activity. When there is war, people want a place of safety, a refuge, where they will not be harmed. Or when there is a severe storm, people want out of the weather, a place of protection, a refuge. And that is what our God is to us. God is a very present help in trouble. He is our place of safety. He is there even for the trouble that we have created. And the ultimate example of that, of course, is sin, which will condemn me to hell, but my refuge and my strength forgives me of my sin. So I can be safe from eternal condemnation. If you have the God of heaven as your refuge and as your strength, look at the sons of Korah and say, you know, who are you going to fear then? Of what or of whom do you need to be fearing? In fact, they said, let the earth be moved out of its place. Let the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea. Let the waters of the seas roar and be troubled so much that they shake the mountains. Nevertheless, we will not fear. Look at those illustrations they use and how graphic they are. Imagine what would be taking place for mountains to be picked up and thrown into the sea. Wow, if something like that was happening literally, would we not be troubled? I mean, what a picture that is showing. And of course, it's all symbolic of how great and massive our problems can be sometimes. And how great and massive the troubles around us can be. And we wonder, how am I going to survive? How am I going to make it? Well, God is my refuge. And God is my strength. And then, at the very end of verse 3, did you see that word there? A word we don't use in English. It's just a Hebrew word. And because we have some ideas of what it meant, we really don't know how to put it in English. So just in our English translations, we have Selah. Pause for a moment and think. Think on what was just said in verses 1 through 3. Would you do that this week? Sometime this week, several times this week, go back to Psalm 46. Of course, I want you to look at the whole Psalm, but look up verses 1 through 3. And understand what has been said there about our God and what He is to us. Now, maybe it might be good to do that just once every day throughout this week. See if it's a blessing to you or not. Now, keep those thoughts in mind and watch what the sons of Korah said next in verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. There is this river. Spiritually speaking, the sons of Korah said, whose streams bring gladness to the city of God. Well, look at the Rogue River and its streams. What it does for Grants Pass and Josephine County. It brings us gladness. How would this town, how would our county and surrounding counties be hurt if suddenly it dried up? I mean, bone dry. Well, I believe the city of Grants Pass gets its water from the river, doesn't it? Man, we'd be in trouble. So having that flow, that refreshing water coming into town means a lot to us. Well, for the city of God, God causes a river to flow through it. And it brings gladness. It brings blessings. In this psalm, we are speaking of ancient Jerusalem. And it was the home of the tabernacle of the Most High God. Therefore, it was a holy place. And he was dwelling right there in the middle of her. But Jerusalem is also a symbol for the church. Be a faithful and loyal member of the church, and you have nothing to fear. Because God is like a river flowing through your life, bringing you gladness. What can happen to you that God will keep from being a very present help in trouble? There is nothing in heaven, hell, or on the earth that can keep that from happening. Do not fear, because as Jesus said in John chapter 7, you have rivers of living water flowing within you. He said in John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then John told us that he was referring to the Spirit of God indwelling us. Even as God indwelt the tabernacle in the ancient city of Jerusalem, so now God's Spirit, by his Spirit, indwells us. And we need to understand the gladness that that should be bringing into our lives. I have a couple quotations in the sermon handouts from Leroy Brownlow, who said, in reference to these verses, while the ocean fiercely raged and madly dashed against the mountains, seeking to undercut them, the city of God, Jerusalem, was pictured with a peaceful and restful river, spreading its beauty and fruitfulness throughout its course. And he said later, this unfailing assurance is especially needed today to soothe the sore, tattered nerves of a generation that has relied too much on earth-made tranquilizers and too little on heaven-made tranquility. These four verses, verses 4 through 7, explain what was said in verses 1 through 3. How did the psalm begin? God is a present help in trouble. He helps us when great things are shaken and moved out of place, nations or companies or whatever it is. Well, what do verses 4 through 7 declare, especially verses 5 and 6? God is in the middle of his city. His people, which is now the church, therefore, shall not be moved, as we have sung. The nations and kingdoms, which are like mountains, are moved. And God speaks, melting the earth. But we shall not be moved. What would be going on, as I said earlier, if all these mountains around us suddenly were lifted up and thrown into the Pacific Ocean? What turmoil would have to be going on for that to happen? Well, in the same way, what would be the turmoil if suddenly the nation we love, the United States of America, is just in a symbolic sense picked up and thrown into the sea? What kind of trouble would fill our hearts? Well, we shouldn't fear, because the psalmist said, God is our refuge. He is our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. That doesn't mean life is always going to be easy. In fact, it definitely is coming out and saying there's going to be trouble around us. Severe trouble. Earth-shaking trouble. But our God is with us. Now, brethren, did you hear the pronouncement of verse 7? The Lord of hosts. The Lord of the angelic armies of heaven is with us. So what if nations come and go? Our God is always with us. What then shall we fear? Do you understand that the God of Jacob is our refuge? It's interesting that the sons of Korah brought that up. They bring up a man, Jacob, whose life was filled with trouble. It was as though mountains were being moved out of place. But God preserved him through it all. His brother was after him. I mean, to kill him initially. His father-in-law cheated him. His wives competed with each other. His daughter was raped. Some of his sons went and attacked a village and just wiped it out. And he was afraid of the repercussions from that. His sons hated one of the youngest ones. I mean, I can go on and on with all the troubles, mountain moving like troubles this man had in his life, but somehow he made it through. How is that? God was his refuge. And the sons of Korah said to Israel centuries later, the God of Jacob is still our refuge. And God has preserved Psalm 46 in the Bibles for the church today so that we can know he's still our refuge. And then again, there's a musical pause. Selah. Stop for a while this week. When you hear of trouble coming, or when you're in trouble, remembering that the God of Jacob, the God of Jacob is your refuge. Verses 8 and 9. Look at the encouragement the sons of Korah give us. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Are you still not sure about the things that were said in verses 1 through 7? Are you thinking, well, okay, for Jacob that was true, and for ancient Israel that was true, but I'm just not convinced yet. There's not enough persuasion here. I'm still not sure about problems that arise in the future, when and where God will be. Well, take up the invitation of the sons of Korah. They invite us to behold the works of the Lord. And what are his works that they want us to see? I mentioned four things. Number one, he has made desolations in the earth. Number two, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. Number three, he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. And number four, he burns the chariots in the fire. The troubles that seek you, the troubles that come to attack you, or the great things of the earth that are around us, he disassembles and he disarms so that he does not change his status with his people. Let trouble attack us, or let trouble be around us. He's still our God. He's still with us. He's not going anywhere. In fact, he can make wars stop. And he can start them too. Why are there wars on the earth? And why do wars stop? Have you ever thought to yourself, well, does this have anything to do with the church? Does this have anything to do with God's people? I think so. I mean, I've told you that over and over again. I really believe that the earth exists for the church. And what goes on in the world, even if it seems disconnected from us, is not disconnected from us in God's mind. Read the book of Daniel. I mean, I preached through that, I think, last year sometime. Look through it again. And you'll notice how God causes the movements of various nations, even nations that are afar. He does these things for the benefit of His people. Well, the sons of Korah encouraged us. Now God wants to encourage us. Listen to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. If all the preceding was not enough, God now speaks to us, and do you hear what He is saying to you? Do you wish you could hear God say something to you? He just did in verse 10. This has been preserved in Scripture because He intended for the people who are here this morning in this building to hear what was said in Psalm 46:10. He wants you to be still and know something. He wants you to know that He is God. He wants you to know that He will be exalted among the nations. He wants you to know that He will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Cease your worrying. Cease your anxiety. Be still and learn something. If you learn what you need to learn, you will find that being still is easier to do. So I'm not going to be still unless I'm convinced that He is God. But if I can just for a moment be still and find out who He is, it'll be far easier to be still. And here is what He wants us to stop and listen. Learn that Yahweh, Jehovah, is God. Now, what does that mean when we say God? We use that three-letter word and place it on the one who indwells heaven and who created all things, and we say He is this word, God. What do we mean by that? Why do we use that word? We mean that He's all-powerful. We mean that He is all-knowing. We mean that He is present everywhere and everything is present before Him. Secondly, learn that He will be exalted among the nations. And thirdly, He will be exalted. He will be exalted in the earth. So let the nations do what they want to do. Let them grow strong and powerful. He'll bring them down and He'll bring up new ones. Some will disappear forever. And some He'll bring up and then He'll bring them down, but He'll just let them be more or less insignificant kingdoms until the end of time. But know this, He's going to be exalted. Stop and learn. Who is your refuge and your strength? Think about what He's just said here in verse 10. That's the one who's your refuge and strength. Do you think that such a God will not be there when you're in trouble? The one who rules over all, the one who's going to be exalted among the nations, the one who's going to be exalted in the earth, will suddenly have the inability to be there when we need Him. No. It doesn't work that way. He'll always be. He's a very present help in trouble. Our problems, our troubles are no problem for Him. Finally, the psalm ends like this, verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. This truth is so vital that the sons of Korah repeated it. I mean, did you notice? Verse 11 is just verse 7. We just read verse 7 when we read verse 11 when we read verse 7. I think I got that right. You know what I'm trying to say. Verses 7 and 11 are the same. Why do we have to hear it again in the same psalm? It's like God is just saying, listen, nail this down. Don't forget what I'm saying. Don't miss it. The one who has all the angelic armies, that's what hosts is referring to, the angelic armies. The one who has all the angelic armies at his command is with us. Now, when I took you through the book of Revelation, I showed you from Revelation chapter 5, I believe it was, that there are over 100 million angels. Now, what would you think if the creator of the universe suddenly appears to you and he has an over 100 million army with him? And just one of them is stronger than us. And he says, hey, we're on the same side. I'm with you. I'm your refuge. I'm your strength. Well, even without those armies, hey, I'm convinced. But all of a sudden now you've got a number that, I don't know how John saw that in the book of Revelation. What a sight that must have been to see that many beings gathered in one location. But that's what verse 11 is telling us. The Lord, the one who is the commander of all the armies of heaven, is with us. Even as he gave Jacob, because remember he mentions here again the God of Jacob, even as he gave Jacob, the man, refuge, and even as he gave Jacob the nation, that is Israel, refuge, so he gives us refuge during times of trouble. I mean, what more can the psalm say? In 11 verses, I think he has said a lot. What more can be said to convince us to chase the fear out of our lives and to have bold faith that we know will help us through all things? It's kind of like what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, are there going to be people against us? Are there going to be things against us? Yes. What's the point of Paul's question? They won't succeed. We will. Psalm 46 is powerful, bringing comfort to the troubled soul. I think our nation needs to hear this psalm. The church needs to hear this psalm. This congregation needs to hear this psalm. I need to hear this psalm. When Martin Luther was threatened with problems, kings and popes trying to kill him, he would often sing Psalm 46. I learned that this week. And in fact, he was so moved by this psalm that he wrote the song, A Mighty Fortress. That's why I asked Nathan to sing that, lead us in that song today. It's a paraphrase of Psalm 46. What will knowing God as your refuge and strength move you to do? As the song, A Mighty Fortress, said, the devil is after you. What will you do? Where will you go? I strongly advise you to go to the only refuge that's safe when he's after you. And it's the one that was mentioned here in Psalm 46, and that's the Lord. How do I get there then? You have to get there by accepting the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you accept Jesus, the Bible says you now have the right to become a son or daughter of God. Hey, if you're a son or a daughter of God, I think he'll take care of you. I know he'll take care of you. But you need to be born into his family. He needs to adopt you. We've been in the devil's family. Now he wants us in his family. And the way to be adopted is to go through a birth again. When you're immersed in water, commonly called baptism, that's when that happens. You're going through a new birth. He's cleansing away all the bad, and he's creating in you a new person. If you've never done that before, we've got a baptistry right here behind me. We've got some clothes for you to change into. We can take care of it this morning or whenever you're ready. Come forward now as we stand and sing.